You are listening to a podcast of Ice and Fire, episode 242 for the week of April 21st, 2019. Welcome back, listeners, to the longest-running podcast dedicated to the epic glory of George R.R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire. And for these weeks right now, we're talking about Game of Thrones. As always,
this is Ashley.
This is Amin.
And this is Kyle. And here we go, guys. We're in it. We're in it. We're in this final season. We're doing it.
Yep.
Everything's getting spoiled for us.
We're ruined.
No, good times. Let's jump right into it. We want to get right to the stuff today, so I don't think we have any news we have to talk about today.
Nope.
If I'm not mistaken.
Not
so
that
we
recall.
We can jump right into it. This is episode 2 of season 8 called A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. Let's start with our lemon cake ratings. Ashley, what do you think?
I don't know, maybe 1.5, 2. Not
Ooh!
Great.
Oh. She's gonna leave us hanging for all the terribleness. I like it. Awesome.
Nothing much really happened. So it was just a lot of the same thing from last week, so I mean And there were some cringe scenes, so yeah.
Amin, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I'll get a 2.5 out of 5. I'll give it a passing grade because there are still some, you know, good scenes in there, but it was a little bit one episode of too much setup. Like, we already had one of those, and you know how I watched this in a group, and we were all trying to find out where can we get the biggest screen to watch it. Well, it turns out it didn't matter. This one, you could watch it on a tablet, given what was.
Oh my god!
No action.
Oh man.
Okay. Yeah, well, I was watching it with my husband, and like we kept on getting sidetracked, just having our own conversations because we weren't paying attention. I mean, that tells you.
Ooh, all right. Well, I'm gonna do a complete flip flop on
okay.
you guys. Where last week I feel like you guys enjoyed it a little bit, and I didn't so much. I really enjoyed this episode. I'm gonna give it I'm debating between a 3.5 or a 4. I really enjoyed this episode. There was a lot of heart to it, and I'm always a sucker for the calm before the storm type of thing. So, and this episode was almost entirely that. So, I really enjoyed it. I think there was a lot of heart, and there were a lot of, neat moments that I couldn't have predicted, like the first episode, felt like was all things you could have just figured out. There was a lot of stuff I didn't know which way they were going to take it, and I liked it. I enjoyed it very much. So yeah, I guess we'll get into it. It's pretty much just goes from 2 or 3 or 5 people to the next 2 or 3 or 5 people. But we start off the episode with Jaime sort of on trial. He did not try to stay hidden. He is seen, and he's standing in front of Sansa and Daenerys and Jon, with sort of his fate in their hands. I'll kick it off right away. I didn't know what they were going to do with Jaime. I didn't know how, what his fate had in store. So, this scene had me right from the get-go.
It kind of seemed like more of the episode would be dedicated to this, but it was resolved pretty quickly. Is that kind of a surprise, or do people think it would take longer?
I don't know. I don't know what people thought or how long it was supposed to take, but it did resolve a little quickly. I'll give it that. But
it was resolved quickly, but I was kind of happy about that because, like, I didn't want to see it dragged out because it would have been like illogical. Like, dude, you're all gonna die anyways at this point.
Yeah,
these little issues are hardly an issue.
Exactly. Either they say you're dead, they kill him, and then whoop, or they say we'll get to you later, they throw him in the cell, and then he rots there for a while, but no, they need his help, so they go get him later on. I don't know. Any chance he's still the prince that was promised?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. Do they even have the prince? Oh, I guess it's John.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing.
No, they do have it. They mentioned that kind of a thing because they talked about it could be either gender.
Okay.
But yeah, it's not Jaime.
I thought it was a beautiful moment when Brienne stood up for Jaime, and it was that hit me in the feels. I liked it.
Yeah, I was actually about to make a comment about, you know, why isn't Brienne standing up, and then she did. So I'm like, yes, good, okay.
Yeah, that was really good. And she was putting her butt on the line too, because she was vouching for him, and she doesn't know what Daenerys is going to do. So
yeah, I didn't have a problem with it being resolving quickly. Although it was funny how then he suddenly was able to be alone with Bran. Like, you think maybe they would put a guard, or was there a guard that I missed? Like, it was kind of like,
well, they didn't know about the whole Bran thing. They didn't know he was the one who pushed them.
Right, which comes up later. In the Jaime Bran scene, he asked Bran, like, why didn't you tell them?
Yeah.
And he's like, what's the deal? We need everybody we can get. Or they just, I'm not going to go around spilling everybody's secrets and getting everybody killed.
Yeah, Bran's not really Bran anymore.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's easy to forget that nobody knows. Bran had sort of amnesia at the beginning of it. And then when he finally kind of knew, he never really told anybody. Yeah, interesting. Go ahead.
Like, this will probably come up more with the books, but it's interesting to be like, this was such a major plot point at the beginning of the story, and like, all for it to not matter. You know, is he going to reveal it was Jaime? Are they going to find out it was Jaime? You know, like, that's what was hanging over our heads for so long, and then we get to the point where it just doesn't matter.
Yeah. I certainly feel like the show wanted to include everything and George's nuances and things in the beginning and minor characters and storylines and stuff. And now they've gotten to a point where they're like, shit, we did talk about that a long time ago, but we don't have time to deal with that. So let's just kind of wrap that up really quickly. I definitely get that feeling on a lot of things. And to be honest, I think they're handling it pretty well. It's not like Lost or something where they're just completely ignoring that they ever mentioned that. Well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see if they bump into each other.
So then
we move on to, which is going to get scandalous, even though it's not this scene right away. But Arya and Gendry is our next scene, with the weapon. She wants her weapon, and how does that dragon glass make such a nice axe?
No idea. I mean, like, does dragon glass just not break against metal? Like, I don't.
We shall see.
Is it only for killing White Walkers, or can you actually use it as like a defensive weapon?
Well, he stuck it right into that stump of wood, so it sure looks like that thing could do some damage.
Well, he's a blacksmith. Got to do something, I guess. To give him screen time.
Do you guys want to go in scene order here? Or do we just want to talk about the whole Gendry and Arya thing right off the bat?
Maybe probably the latter option, unless you have a preference.
Okay, let's talk about Gendry and Arya, their whole arc during this episode then.
Sure.
I felt like a giant perv. I think the entire... I think Google Internet... Google searches for how old is Maisie Williams, like, skyrocketed during the scene. She's 22, by the way. And apparently, upon a little bit of research, Arya is supposed to be 18.
See, that's what I was a little confused about. My question, like, I knew Maisie was of age. I wasn't sure how old Arya is supposed to be. And that's what I was like, well, it's how old is she supposed to be? I was very confused because I think a lot of the ages are kind of everywhere at this point because people were comparing it to Gilly's baby, who is still like a baby. So there's like nothing's, I think we're just not supposed to think about that.
I think they're not supposed to be that aged up because that was the whole thing. Sansa wasn't aged up either. Like, I mean, theory she wasn't, but I guess this is one scene where it benefited that the actual actors were older. They were able to do a scene that would be far more awkward or impossible if they were younger.
Maisie Williams tweeted out something today or yesterday. I'm sure he's like, you think you were awkward watching it? Well, just so you know, my mom, my stepdad, my two brothers, and my uncle all saw that scene too. So, kill me now, please.
That's adorable.
I mean, despite all that, it's sort of like this kind of comic book X-Men, Batman type of thing where, like, you don't know really how people age until it behooves, like, a specific storyline. So, Some age faster, some don't, some mature, things like that. Apparently she's 18. Maisie Williams is of age, so I'm cool. She went for what she wanted. She took it, and good for her, I say.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really have a... It's just like she just looks young. I think that's just most people's issue. I mean, I don't have a problem with her character doing that. I think absolutely Arya would. And I don't have a problem with Maisie doing that. I think she just wanted to join in the Game of Thrones fun. Honestly, yeah. I honestly think that she's like, I want to have a sex scene. Everyone else gets one. I want one.
Well, do you think this is confirmation of a book relationship, or do you think it's new? Do you think
she's going to be in the books by the end of it.
Yeah. Remind me where Gendry is in the books.
He's in the Riverlands, right?
Oh, yeah, she's with the Brotherhood.
Okay, he's with the Brotherhood, that's right. He's making them weapons and stuff. Yeah, could be. We'll see.
I mean, like, they're shippable. I mean, like, it's obviously hinted towards. Like, people have been calling it out. He's going to get, you know, legitimate eyes, and she's going to end up marrying him. Like, that's been, you know...
Yeah,
people have been saying that for years, so who knows if that it'll go there, but I mean, I have no problem with it.
Speaking of the legitimacy thing, man, he dropped the I'm the trueborn son of Robert, well, not trueborn, I'm the bastard son of Robert Baratheon, like, another thing where it's like, we don't have time to deal with all the complications of this. He's just gonna say this right away. They got that out there. I liked her reaction. Whoa, okay, I wanted you more. I wanted you now. I think I watch even more. I don't know. Like that. Good for her. And I'm looking to see if that spear still has a button that like fires off one of the ends or not. Her weapon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's another thing that we could talk about is like I've read theories that, you know, she's going to faceless man into Bran and pretend to be Bran and then try to take out the Night King or something like that.
Oh, I heard about that, too. I mean, couldn't she kill one of the whites or something, and then, or one of the others or whatnot, and then faceless man as a white or another?
No, but they just shatter. Like, do you have to get their face? It seems like she doesn't need the face. It's kind of confusing to me.
Yeah, I don't know.
But wouldn't he know by the mark? Like, isn't he tracing the mark like the GPS?
Yeah. So maybe she'll be hiding out in the Godswood with Bran or something like that.
Close enough that it's so close that he won't be able to... He can tell the general area or something. It's like, can't tell within a meter.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's the assumption, you know, like maybe just playing up the young girl, helpless young girl thing, too. She could try.
I totally think she's going to go off on her own and get saved by Nymeria and her pack at some point.
You think we'll have wolves? You are optimistic.
We had Ghost in this episode.
There's a theory that he was CGI'd in last minute because people were complaining about last episode.
Well, I mean, he's always CGI'd in, so yeah. Who cares if it's last minute, right? It's always relatively last minute, right?
Yeah.
He looked kind of tiny. But anywho, then we get to Jaime and Bran, which we sort of mentioned already. Jaime apologizes to Bran. Bran's like, you know what? Oh, well. Moving on.
Can someone please let Bran inside? He's cold.
I don't think he can feel anything anymore. The weather. I don't know. There's just no ramps into the castle. That's how it is. Anything else in this scene we need to touch upon?
Well, the only point, I guess we can talk about it again later, because at the end of the episode, maybe we should do predictions of who's going to die. I thought Gendry was going to live to continue the Baratheon line. In theory, he could die now if Arya becomes pregnant. So we'll talk. That's one way reason he might die.
Oh, shit. Didn't even think of that. Speaking of babies, we have a scene between Jaime and Tyrion where Jaime confirms that Cersei is indeed pregnant.
Well, that's when we say that, though. Like, she may be pregnant and then we'll die anyway. The child's not born. Like, so could be pregnant in the books.
Could be. But I think this is confirmation. This is Jaime saying it. We have to, as viewers, believe this now, right?
Yeah, now I'm wondering if the whole series about book Cersei is true. Like, I wonder if this is like confirming that. I don't know. I don't like it.
I don't like it.
I don't have a problem. I thought the idea was that it'll be to her benefit if she's pregnant. It can delay the trial, delay things in the books.
Yeah.
I don't know where are they going with everything? Like, King's Landing is, it's like, they got problems up north. I don't know how they're resolving it all.
Well, they can't win next episode. They're going to have to get their butts kicked and run, I would think, right?
So, like, they abandon the north and go south?
Yeah.
I think?
I did also see another article or theory, and I didn't have time to read the entire thing, but somebody believes that the Night King is not at Winterfell and has sort of split his forces.
Yeah.
Oh.
He has a dragon.
And so they're going to go through this battle, and the north is going to win or kind of stalemate or barely win type of thing. And then they're going to realize that the key to it isn't even there. It's headed in a different direction.
So, you know, like I've also, you know, people have also been complaining about how the absence of Howland Reed. Maybe we'll finally get some Howland Reed if he's bypassed and gone to the neck.
Why do we need Howland Reed, though?
I like him.
We need him in the book, but I don't know about
the
show.
There's no need for him when you have Bran and Sam. Yeah. Tag team. Howland Reed is skipping the battle.
The Sam Bran tag team of info. They're like their own cable news network.
Yeah.
So we got that. Then we move on. We see Pod has become a rather good swordsman.
Yeah,
which is pretty cool. Pod's becoming like an all around just really cool knight. Like, I know he's still a squire, but he's really kind of coming into his own. And I could see, you know, if you wrote 10 years from now story or 20 years from now, Pod would probably be
Kingsguard,
Kingsguard or something. Yeah, he seems really, cool. Really awesome.
If he lives.
If he lives.
Yeah. That'd be sad. I think I'd be really sad if Pod died. Mm.
I think Daniel, the actor, is doing a really fine job in this episode, as we'll see later on by the fireplace. But also in this scene, Jamie meets up with Brienne and asks her if he can be in her army, in her force, in her battalion, whatever the correct term is.
Under her command.
Under her command, yes.
Yeah. And he said, yeah, put on the stormtrooper suit.
Phantasma, put on this suit, please.
You'll shoot like a stormtrooper with one arm.
Man, these two are adorable. I like it. Yes, my lady. Yes, my lady. Hold on a second. We haven't had this long of a conversation without you insulting me ever. I enjoyed this one. I enjoyed this interaction.
Yeah.
Yep. So Jamie's going to be fighting in Bran's wing of the battle. Then we move on to Jorah approaches Dany, sort of to kind of in Tyrion's favor, in Tyrion's corner, sort of talking him up. Because earlier in the episode, we had Dany sort of saying Tyrion is doing a bad job of being the hand. And Jorah comes along and sort of vouches for him, which is... great. That whole hand stuff, it felt a little out of place.
I thought that she was all right, okay with Tyrion. Like, he's been around here her for a while now. Like, I was confused as to why she was all of a sudden negative towards him.
Well, because he made a whole bunch of tactical errors in the last season that lost them the Dornish, that lost them the Iron Island allies. They weren't able. That lost them Highgarden. Tyrion was the call, or the brain behind a lot of their misfortunes during the battle when they first arrived. And also, Tyrion believed his sister, and now Cersei lied to him. And now Dany has to trust him about Jaime, who the dude who killed her dad. So I think she's about having it with Tyrion. Hmm. So I don't know where that's going to lead. They've definitely mentioned a few times this sort of stuff. So that's leading somewhere.
That was something that I was wondering why they didn't bring up when they were questioning Jaime earlier on. Was why didn't they bring up the fact that, hey, Targaryens kind of killed their grandfather, killed their uncle, killed their aunt. Like, I'm surprised The North has plenty of reasons not to trust Targaryens.
I think it's hard to do all that when the Targaryen and her entire army are staying within your walls. Might not be the time to say that.
She seems to be so high and mighty coming there and, you know, acting like she's the savior. And it's like, dude, you don't have a good history.
Does anybody have a good history in Westeros?
Starks.
Well, sure. They almost had that going. I mean, with Sansa and the queen, like Dany, they had a scene where they almost got there. And
That's the next scene. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Dany makes a good point. Like, she's here with her army of dragons to help. What else is she supposed to... She's doing what Stannis did, is, you know, save the realm first. Mm-hmm. Is what a ruler should do. And Sansa's like, well, but when can I get to rule? You're not even, like, John's ahead of you, too. Like, what's your problem, Sansa? Jeez.
Yeah.
I didn't take that to mean that she wanted to rule. I took that to mean the North wants to be its own thing.
Yeah, well, you deal with that after. Like, I think Sansa doesn't really fully realize the threat here. Like, does she even believe it? Like, I think it would be in her character not to believe it. She hasn't seen anything, has she? They didn't show her any undead. She only has, like, this third... it's in line mm-hmm. with her comments about how we're going to feed these people. She's still viewing it as a traditional war, and she's planning for the next war.
Mm-hmm. Man, Dany and Sansa were making some headway there.
Yeah.
They were, like, smiling. They had some jokes at John's expense. And but then she asked about the North. I don't know. I don't...
And they still... Well, it's like they're dancing around the just marry John issue. Yeah, like, I don't know why no one has said it.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
I think it got said last episode.
No, but it did not get said.
I think
it was implied by the wrong people.
Jorah, Varys, and Tyrion sat up on the wall and mentioned it.
Like, it's so obvious that, yeah, I mean, who cares about this whole, like, what's John's background is? Like, he's viewed as a Stark. If he married Dany, then the North would be fine because they'd be half
the kingdom. That's the thing. Yeah. Like, okay, so, I mean, it just seems so obvious, and we've all kind of got our ideas, but, like, you can have a marriage, have a king and a queen sitting on the throne of the entire realm, and maybe... From there, you can split it. Like, so John is the king of the North, and Daenerys is the queen of the South, and they're both all ruling the land together as a couple. I don't know. It's like so many options just if they get married. Yes, Ashley, agreed. Yeah. Like, they're just dancing around this obvious answer.
Yeah, and you'd leave Sansa there in Winterfell, and then John's children, I mean, they'd be half Stark, they'd be Stark children ruling the realm. Like, isn't that the best possible?
Yeah.
You're king of the whole realm, basically.
And,
like,
and Sansa's the warden of the North, you know? Yeah. Like, ugh. It's just, yes, I agree. Oh, it's kind of annoying. Feels very manufactured. The next scene, however, did not feel manufactured to me. I cried like a little baby. Theon returning and him and Sansa. Oh, my boy Theon. Yeah. He's getting his redemption arc. I love it. I've wanted this for so long, for so many years.
I don't like that the show makes me like him because I hate him in the books.
Just wait. Those books will make you like him again. I've been rooting for Theon for so long, and oh, man, this was beautiful. However, I am my knee-jerk reaction was to be creeped out, but I watched it again. I don't think I really am. It seems like they are making Sansa to be into Theon. She gave him some longing looks and he sort of kind of had his sort of shy little look back. And I was like, at first I was like, that's a little, and then I thought about it and watched it again. I was like, oh, okay, you know what? I don't hate that. Cause if you have, that can join the Iron Islands and the North together, that's kind of a cool thing. And they've been through some shit together.
Mm-hmm.
So. I like this. One of my favorite scenes in the episode. Oh, and Dany is just sitting there like, whoa, shit, what happened here? I liked it.
I didn't really have any complaints. That was fine. There you go.
Your complaint is you're starting to like Theon. Then we go to Davos and the soup line or the bread line and Gilly. And we have him sort of talking to a soldier. And then afterwards, oh, this kind of broke my heart, too. Mm. Was he had this little girl with a scarred face who was obviously supposed to look a lot like Shireen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And wants to fight. And, oh, man. Woo. It's a nice little scene. Any thoughts on this or anything?
Was that the one where we saw Lyanna Mormont?
That's a little bit later.
Oh, okay. Because I have complaints about that.
It's the Shireen reminder,
but,
basically.
But the Shireen reminder, yeah, that was, you know, heartbreaking.
And this is also one of many mentions of all the innocent folks or the people who can't fight going to be safe down in the crypts. Are you guys like me, and have you seen every single headline about how the crypts is probably not the safe place to be when the undead come calling?
Yeah. How have they not, you know, put that together?
It's almost like some certain people should be evacuated. I guess they think they're going to try to win here. But,
I did not think that when I was watching it, but then...
No, it was just afterwards, you're reading the comments, it's like, oh yeah, maybe not a graveyard.
Yeah, exactly. Which really falls into place later when Daenerys tells Tyrion that they need him for his brain, and he's like, I've fought before, and she's like, no, you're going to be in the crypt too. And all I could think of was Tyrion and this little Shireen lookalike going to be taking out some undead.
It'd be funny if they forced Arya down there, and she just like one-man armies the whole thing.
God damn. But that's going to be so creepy because you're going to have all the undead Starks.
Oh, aren't they penned in by the heavy lids, though? Are they able to?
Yeah, that's the thing, too. Like, I'm reading these articles and, well, actually, I didn't really read them. I read the headlines.
Yeah, I don't click it.
But, I don't know if I buy it. I don't know if I buy it.
It's not even, it could be that things are raised there, but it could also could be that, there's such a huge army of undead, they can come in all ways. Well, a certain faction of them could get in there. They could just get past the lines and fight in the crypts.
Well, we saw after the fall of Winterfell, after Ramsay and Theon and that it's pretty well hidden if you don't know where you're looking. Hmm.
And also, like, okay, the crypts can't be that big. There's a ton of people in the north. Like, where are all these people staying?
Oh.
Some of them didn't come. Remember the Glovers are staying in their place?
Yeah.
And other people.
Yeah. So we got the bread line. Then we go to Tormund. Oh, I gotcha. I'm looking at my notes and I'm like, what the hell did I write? Tormund and Ed and the Night's Watch arrive at Winterfell. They were just at the last hearth where the umbers had been taken out by the White Walkers, and they circled around. They made it past them. They made it to the castle, and this is where the whole episode sort of changes to we don't have much time. This is our last night. Hmm. And that's when things sort of started to take a turn in this episode. But this was cool. I totally forgot that the Brothers in Black were coming to Winterfell. I was like, oh, Ed, what's he doing here?
It was a nice reunion.
Aww. It's nice. So then we go right from that to the War Council. Amin, you are always our expert on how bad everyone's war plans are. So lay it out for us, man. What'd you think of this one?
Oh, I think the idea of going for the Night King is completely correct. I don't know enough about the terrain there or about like the numbers or whatever to really say whether it's good or bad. They have the right idea. The only way to win is take out the Night King, and losing Bran is a trade. If they can take out the Night King, so I don't know.
It's a good trade. I think they're hoping not to lose Bran.
So you're willing to sacrifice them if you take the Night King out. That's the correct move. Now, whether like there's another way to get him, I don't know. Like I think Jaime made a good point though. Wasn't Jaime that said like, well, then wouldn't he know that as well? He's not going to put himself in the open. So that's why some people think he might not even be there.
Yes, definitely part of the reason.
The other thing, they also seem to forget that he has a dragon, right? Shouldn't that be factored in? The guy has a dragon. He's not coming on foot or on a horse.
Nobody has mentioned that yet. Hmm. Which is terrifying.
And they didn't mention their dragons really either.
They're like, saving on that CGI budget.
Well, they talked a bit about it. I think they said whether they put the dragons on the front line or keep them near Bran, right?
All right.
And whether it would work.
Well, I liked Arya mentioned the question a lot of us have been asking. Will Dragonfire stop the Night King?
Yeah.
To which Bran answers, I don't know. No one's ever tried. Mm. So. So we're still hanging in the balance. I gotta think that Dragonfire can take him out.
Got it.
It was a loud motorcycle. Someone was compensating.
Jeez. Still there.
Yeah. It has to be. I think Dragonfire has to be able to do it if it's a full-on blast. Yeah. Why not? It's so powerful. What is he going to do? Yeah. On the other hand, it would be pretty cool if he somehow did stop it.
If the fire goes around him, like the fire would vacate his area when he walked towards it. Regular fire would, so it's kind of neat if he's got like a fire shield or something. Mm. It'd be a cool visual effect, but I want him to burn. So we have Bran. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Ashley.
So, I'm a dork, so like I look at the history and stuff. It's like, why do they think the Night King's gonna stop it? Why is the Night King in control? Like, there was a long night before, and this guy was just some dude that from the Night's Watch who made it with a other woman. Like, aren't there others?
No, this is different Night King. That's the whole point. The King of the show is different, and they set it up last season where they killed the one White Walker and some of them died. Like, they realized this is the only way to win is to take him out. Otherwise, you're just going to keep giving him new troops as each of your guys die. So that's the plan. The question is whether...
So this is because I block out all of the show after immediately watching it. Okay, I got it.
Well, do you think he's going to be, Night King is going to be riding the dragon or going to be separate and controlling it separately? It's going to be interesting to see.
Mm. I'd say separate because he seems to be remote controlling dead things.
Do that to his advantage, right?
Like, I think he's going to be on there like the Witch King riding the Nazgul.
Yeah. Either he's going to come in with the dragon and just surprising in that sense, or he's going to be on foot and you think you have him and suddenly a dragon comes from the side. Like, he controls the dragon, comes in and hits them from the side or something.
Yeah, I don't. Oof, I don't know. But we do also get in this scene the reason why the Night King is hunting Bran. And the way the show explains it is that the Night King wants darkness. He wants ultimate darkness, which is everyone dead and the memory of everyone dead. And Bran is sort of a living. He's the memory of Westeros. He knows everything. He can recall everything or find it. So if the Three-Eyed Raven is gone, then so much history and everything will go with it. It seems like that is the reason that they are giving us that the Night King wants Bran gone.
That'll put the Citadel as a giant target.
Oh, true. True, true, true. Interesting. But that'll fall. I can burn that. Mm-hmm. So we go from that to and all these scenes we have sort of John avoiding Daenerys earlier and now. So we have all those little moments too. But then we move on to Tyrion and Bran sitting by the fire, and this is a very short scene. But Tyrion just wants Bran to tell him everything, and I'm curious because this scene cuts away before they really start getting into it all, but I'm curious. I think this is significant. I think Tyrion is going to learn information off screen during this conversation that he's going to have later on and take advantage of it. I don't know what that's going to be, but I think he's learning vital information.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think one of the interesting parts of the episode overall is just to put a lot of people that weren't together to continue to see what happens. And this is an interesting pairing of Tyrion and Bran. Tyrion's supposed to be smart, and then he has Bran's knowledge. You put that together, then he can take advantage of it.
He's like the ultimate book. Something to read. So we have a little scene with Grey Worm and Missandei, how they're not sort of very welcome. The people aren't very warm and welcoming to them up here. And how Missandei, when all this is said and done, would like to go back to Narth. And how Grey Worm's like, yep, I'm taking you. We're going. And I got a little sad. I got a little sad during this.
My reaction was, yeah, you're in the North. Go down south. It'll be fun.
That's right.
I know. Yeah, they were talking about how like kind of bad the North was. And I was like, yeah, but you're going to be fighting for the throne and then you're going to be down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully the winter won't last long. and things will be different. Maybe you could change your mind, but I thought this was a beautiful moment, but it also showed how truly they believe that Daenerys will just let them go if they ask. They aren't slaves anymore. They can have this choice.
Hmm. Yeah.
Which I thought was really, was a powerful thing. Because they've said it before as answers, but to be talking amongst themselves and both of them not even flinch at the idea that they can go wherever they want when this is done was kind of awesome. So then we have the brothers, John, Sam, and Ed, hanging out at the wall, having their last hurrah, last kind of look how far we've come moment. Last one of us alive, make sure you burn the other ones.
I liked this scene. It was sweet. It was good to see them together.
And it had this epic, like, over-the-shoulder shot over the battlements out into the distance. And I'm curious if I went back to season one, if there's a similar shot of them, like, on top of the wall looking north. Curious. So we get that scene, and then we go, I really like how they're picking on Sam. They're like, Sam's got a lady, he's killed a White Walker, we truly know this is the end of times. So then our whole fireside scene begins. We have Tyrion, Jaime, and then Brienne and Pod come in, and then Davos comes in, and then Tormund comes in, and we've got this whole scene. This is quite a bit of the final, you know, third act of the show. There's a lot of interactions going on here, a lot of stories, and I loved all the fireside stuff. It's so sad to think, okay, not all these people are going to be alive at the end of next week. So what'd you guys think of the whole fireside stuff?
In general, it's nice just to see the characters hanging out and see how they would all interact with each other.
Yep.
But
yeah, Tormund was great, and the knighting scene was good. That's the thing I liked about it.
Wait, Tormund was great, and the knighting scene was good?
Yeah.
Oh! 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 That knighting scene, I mean, I cried like 3 times during this episode, and that knighting scene was definitely one of them. Gwendolyn Christie did an amazing job, I thought. Everybody watching and like, fuck tradition, and them just going ahead and doing it. And oh, I loved it. I loved it. I loved it so much. And the whole fact that at the end of it, he's like, you are now a Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. They named the episode A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. It's a great title for Brienne being knighted, because it links to the Duncan Egg novellas. The last, when they put 3 of them together and launched it, they called those books A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. Mm-hmm. And she's a descendant of Dunk, right? I'm not mistaken,
yes,
right?
That's correct.
Yes, she is.
So it really got me thinking about Dunk. And that got me choked up, too, because I started thinking, I don't think Dunk was knighted. I think he made it up. And I don't think he ever will truly be knighted in the novellas. It got me thinking that, and how all that's going to lead, and finally his descendant Brienne gets knighted, and I got choked up. I got a little something in there. I thought it was beautiful. I loved it.
I thought it was the best part of the episode.
Okay. You guys love this one. I could tell.
It's not a lot happens.
I really liked, I mentioned before, Pod in this scene where she's like, I don't even want to be knighted. What are you talking about? And he looks over at Pod, and Pod just kind of gives this, yeah, you do. Look, I loved that. And, also like Pod sitting there like, I want to be knighted and you can't knight me. So get your ass knighted right now. I like that. And Jaime being the one who does it. Because who the knights in that room are Jon and Davos, right? Sorry, Jaime and Davos.
Yeah, right? Davos is a knight, theoretically, right? He must have been knighted.
Yeah. Is he knighted in the show? Is he served Davos in the show?
I mean, if it's going to be even hand and stuff, he should have been knighted.
True.
But, I mean, it makes sense that Jaime would do it. That's an emotional connection there.
Yeah. I thought the Tormund stuff was hilarious, although it's verging now on, okay, stop that. She's obviously not interested. Like, okay, we've got this enough. I kind of hope that doesn't really continue.
HBO beating a dead horse?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he had a funny story, though. Like, I mean, it's odd because he wouldn't have said the story, but they actually twisted it where it's like, he's like, that's why I'm large and powerful, is because of the milk. So they switched it up a bit there.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Tormund does. He tells big stories. That's fun.
Tells big stories. Oh, man. Yeah, I like that. I thought that was a whole lot of fun. And then Pod singing, I thought was beautiful. It hearkened to Return of the King. Hmm. That moment in Minas Tirith. But yeah, I thought that was beautiful. Kind of like this Titanic Lord of the Rings moment. That was nice. So he sings Jenny of Old Stones. Hmm. That didn't like pique your interest at all?
No, George didn't write it.
Didn't he? Doesn't he have lyrics in the book?
For Jenny of Old Stones?
I thought he did.
I don't think so.
I thought they were in there.
I will look it up right now.
Yeah, look that up. I thought that's got sung at some point in there. So anyway, we have this scene. Really enjoy it. Then we had the Hound sitting on the wall. Arya joining the Hound. Ashley, what about their interaction?
I wanted Sansan. I spent the entire interaction grumbling about Sansan, so that's my opinion.
I cannot win this episode.
Oh, what if the Hound dies before that happens?
Like, I know, it's probably going to happen at this point. I think they're just trying to forget that, you know, Sansan was a thing. Because it's not a thing in the show because of the age difference. But
yeah, they're definitely not giving us any of that. It doesn't seem like they're even going to meet. Mm. Oof. Okay.
I mean, like, they still hadn't. Sorry. But, like, okay, they didn't do the Sansan thing in the show, but they still had a powerful moment before splitting off. Like, it was, they still had their moment. And Sandor still mentions it to Arya in the show. So it's like, why aren't they.
It's true. It's true.
Like, I accept there's not going to be a romance. I accept that in HBO, there will not be a romance. But there still should be a reunion. They gave every other character a freaking reunion.
There you go. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe Sansa in the battle will have her dress ripped and have a Hound will come over and put his cloak on her.
No, Sansa's got the cloak. She's hidden in her hope chest.
Oh, sorry. The Hound will have his shirt ripped and Sansa will come over and put her cloak on the Hound. Excuse me. Or maybe he'll catch fire and Sansa will come over and put it out for him. So does the Hound have to win and so we can have a Clegane Bowl? Do we care about that still?
Hmm. Oh, yeah. I guess he has to survive because we need Clegane Bowl.
Yeah. There's going to be
the only reason Rhaegar is still alive is for Clegane Bowl, right? Like, what other reason?
Yeah. Also, the Hound is going to be worthless in this battle because how do they fight their enemy? Oh, yeah, with fire.
Yeah, but also
the Hound ain't going to do shit.
Use Dragonglass.
But Dragonglass doesn't work against the whites, right?
Well, that's the weird thing. It seemed to be suggested that it did, right? And didn't John say that in the presentation?
I don't know.
He gives a PowerPoint presentation. He's like, this is how you kill.
The PowerPoint. I can't remember if Dragonglass works against the whites in the show or not. I guess we'll find out next week.
It suggests that it does, I think. But
really?
But if they're wearing armor, you'd think if they're dead people wearing armor, you have to get through that armor is the problem, right?
Well, not all of them are going to be wearing armor. I don't think. They just die and they get up and start walking, so they don't put on clothes after they become undead.
Yeah, so if they already had it.
If they had it, yeah, they've got it. But if they just died in their bed or
that's right. Or
whatever. Okay, sorry to interrupt. I've looked it up. Jenny's song, there's only one line of it ever spoken in the books, so the rest of it is
fan fiction.
Really? I really thought that was in the books.
Well, the song exists in the books, and there is one line that is said in the books, but the rest of the song is new.
Okay. All right. Well, I think they did a nice job. I thought it was a good song. Thought it was good. Yep. So then we have the fifth wheel, Beric Dondarrion, shows up and breaks up the Hound and Arya. And I like how we're going to have this threesome scene, not threesome, excuse me, this scene with the three of them. And then Arya's just like, I'm out of here. I'm going to go get fucked. So she leaves. Then we have the Arya Gendry scene, which we already talked about. Then we continue on with the fireside scene. And then, we have the Mormonts. We have Lyanna and Jorah, which I was a little bummed. I expected a bit more, maybe talk about his exile and stuff. But it was just a little chat about how Jorah didn't want her out there fighting. And she's like, fuck you, I'm the queen, or I'm the lord. So Lyanna's going to fight. She's still badass.
Sansa, Beating that dead horse.
Beating that dead horse. What, that she's badass?
They're because she had that one badass line, they're trying to, you know, like, oh, everyone loves her, we should just keep giving her stuff to do. And at this point, it's just cringeworthy.
Why is it cringeworthy?
I don't know. I can see that. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, they definitely, I think I read an interview with the actress who plays Lyanna, who was like, I thought everyone was going to hate me. She says, I came off as such a bitch. And then when the episode aired, everybody's like, you're badass. Oh, man. All right. So we're going to move on. Right after that, it leads directly into Samwise Gamgee giving Jorah Heartsbane, which I was like, what?
Yeah.
You found out your dad and your brother are dead, so you're probably, maybe he doesn't realize it, but you're probably going to get your castle at some point when all this is said and done. And you're just going to give up your family sword. I don't know.
I kind of took this as him lending it, not giving it.
They should have made it more explicit, because that would make more sense. He's like, use it during his battle and then give it back if we survive.
I don't think in this world you lend swords.
You can start it new. you don't care about tradition anymore, right? So
I did not get that impression at all. I got sort of this weird kind of three. Yeah. I started this like triangle of love here, a square where Gior gave the Mormont family sword to Jon, and then Jon's best friend gives his family sword to Jorah. It was kind of this weird little square circle type thing that didn't make any sense to me at all. Yeah, I don't know. But Jorah has a Valyrian steel blade. You'd think he'd be like really pumped, because that's what you need in this fight.
Yeah.
Is Valyrian steel also going to be able to kill whites?
Yeah.
Okay. So everything works against the whites. And then against the others, it's dragon glass and Valyrian steel. But not fire.
Not fire, but maybe dragon fire.
Okay. I guess the rules are still a little weird. So then we get the song. We get the fireside song. Oh, and then the final moment. Here we go. Ba-ba-ba-ba. We get John and Danny in the crypts, where John spills the beans about being Aegon number two Targaryen. How'd you feel about this?
I thought it was believable, like in a sense that Danny wasn't happy about it, because you can see it kind of undercut her. View of herself, and then John was still struggling with it, but accepted, like, knew that it was true, and then they got cut off, I guess.
I found it weird that after her conversation with Sansa about how much she loved John, she then seems to misread his character so much to think that he would try to take her throne.
Yeah.
Like, that didn't make sense at all.
Yeah, but we also have her earlier in the episode saying, like, Sansa being like, you manipulated John, and then Danny coming back and be like, hey, look, John manipulated me. That's why I'm here right now. And so to go, if you went directly from that scene to this scene, all of a sudden John's now also being like, after Danny is like, yeah, I took all my troops, I came over here, then I flew north to help him out, I lost the dragon, now I'm here fighting for him instead of fighting for the throne. And then you cut to, oh, yeah, by the way, also, I'm the rightful king. That sure seems like the possibility she may believe that he has been manipulating her all along. So I
feel like anyone who's met John knows that he wants nothing to do with being in charge.
Yeah, I think them cutting off the scene was very important because it sure seemed like John was about to say, but I don't want to be king.
That's right. You got to cut off from that.
Which you got to do thematically. So that'll sort of be an underlying thing during the whole battle. And then it can be resolved or cause more tension. But yeah, I don't know. That's woof. I thought it was
pissed me off. So that's where I'm leaving it.
How did you just want like the whole scene where they just talk it out?
I guess I wanted him
to just
be like, yo, I don't want to be king.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, even if he had said that, I think she still would have been annoyed by the scenario. I think it's just because it's just such a shock to her, right?
Yes.
So this makes it a little bit worse. It makes it even more potential.
Yeah. I mean, I understand her not believing it straight out, but it's just her such harsh suspicion, it seemed like, came out of nowhere.
Oh, it was a 1 second moment too, right? Like, it wasn't really a time for her to reflect deeply on it.
Yeah. That's something she's believed all her life, that she's the last one, and then you throw in this curveball. It's like, whoa, how do you react in that moment? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see what happens with that. Yeah. All right. So that's the episode. We don't have too much time left, but any quick predictions or anything before we head out?
Just deaths. I think the most obvious is Beric Dondarrion is the easiest and most disposable to die. So Beric's out, and maybe Theon, I think. Are the ones I'm thinking.
Oh, Theon, no. After this episode, I believe that Theon's actually going to survive. Because once they introduce Sansa sort of being into him, I see this link of actually bringing the Iron Islands sort of more connected to the Seven Kingdoms now. Or more connected to the mainland type of thing. So I see him surviving now, weirdly, because I didn't. If you had asked me on Saturday, I would have said, no, Theon's gone. That dude's done. But now I'm doubting that. I'm down that a little bit. So, I don't know. Ashley, any quick predictions?
I don't think Theon's going to die. I think he's been through too much already for them to bother doing that, too.
Love Theon now.
throw Grey Worm in there as well. His scene is set a nice setup for him to die, right? He's like, oh, I'm gonna take you home.
Yeah, I think that was, I wouldn't be surprised if he dies.
Yep. Especially because he's on the front line, right? Oh no, the Dothraki are on the front line, excuse me.
Yeah, so I don't know who's gonna survive. Like, I mean, everyone's been through so much shit already. You don't want to see any of them die at this point.
And are they going to win? Are they going to lose? Are they going to, like, I don't know how this all plays out with the threat of Cersei and King's Landing and the Golden Company and everything still looming.
Yeah, because enough characters have to survive to be still relevant for that.
Yeah.
Which is great. I love that I don't know.
If they win, I could change my mind on this depending how it goes. If they win in the next episode, like the good guys win, I'm going to be disappointed. It's too easy to win in this one episode. But we'll see.
Yeah. Is that going to be a cop-out if they just take out the Night King next episode?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it would depend on how it plays out, like on how it's shot and edited. Like, if it is truly a struggle to get the Night King and it pays off, like, I could see myself being satisfied if he gets taken down next episode, if done correctly. But if it's just like he strolls into the Godswood and then Arya pops out, rips off her face and stabs him, I'd be like, okay, that wasn't.
Here's one more crazy theory then. I mean, if Jaime has to live to kill Cersei, but does he have to live? Could he die and then come back and then kill Cersei? Because then that would resolve that, of getting Cersei resolved first before.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because Tyrion has that moment in today's episode where he's like, maybe when I'm a white, I'm going to I'm going to walk down to King's Landing and tear her apart.
Yeah. But it wouldn't be him, it would be Jaime to do it. I mean, because it just seems that it's kind of odd that Cersei would be the last thing. It seems like Cersei would be resolved first, and then it would all come down to final resolution with the White Walkers. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
We shall see. All right, guys. Well, that is our recap review of episode 2 of season 8 of Game of Thrones, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. We'll be back again next week for episode 3. And until then, have a good one.
See you next time. Well, thanks, guys.
Awesome.
Okay, episode, gotta go. I guess one final comment. I think this episode would have been better when you watch it back to back with the next one, right? Then you could have like gone right into the
probably. The next one. Sorry, I was so Debbie Downer on this one.
No, it was so funny. I got together with my D&D group, and we're all doing podcasts and stuff. I do it with like Axe Chucker from the old Winners Coming and stuff, and the Happy Cool folks or whatnot. And it was so funny because they messaged me and they were like, "Kyle, you were such a Debbie Downer on your episode. I loved it." We have this guy who was always complaining about everything. He was like, "You were my spirit animal, man. I loved it so much." So don't worry, Ashley. There's a crowd.
I had to be the voice for the Sand Sand Shippers because they are out and loud and upset.
I love it. I love it. That's great. We can't all like every episode. I hated last one. I like this one. So that's what it's all about, baby.
Yeah, awesome. I still don't get how you hated last episode.
I mean, the big difference, the simple difference is that last week I felt like everything was predictable. Like I'm not a writer and I couldn't have written the dialogue as well as they do, but I feel like I could have written all that.
Okay.
Whereas this week, I didn't know what they were going to do with Jaime. I didn't know how Daenerys was going to react when she found out. I couldn't predict all the weird interactions and the knighting of Brienne. Like I didn't know that was going to happen. So there were a lot of unpredictable things in this episode, which I enjoyed. Whereas last week I felt like every single beat was just a predictable reunion that over the course of the past 2 years, you could have just laid out a blueprint of how the entire first episode would have gone. So I think that's where the difference comes in for me.
Cool. All right.
Awesome.
I'm gonna head out. Thanks, guys.
All right, guys. Okay. Have a good one.
Peace. Bye-bye.